Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Carol and I have been members of a variety of churches in the course of our long lives. Roman Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Wesleyan, non-denominational, and now we've settled our home in the Episcopal Church. And there are a lot of differences from denomination to denomination, but if there is one thing that all Christian churches seem to have in common, it may be this, that we spend a lot of time gathered around tables, eating. There's something holy about sharing food, whether it's in the intimacy of your family or a big noisy community supper. Sharing a meal is a physical manifestation of our fellowship with one another. In the beautiful passage from Isaiah that Carol just read, God describes the coming of his kingdom into the world fully, at long last, at the end of this age, as a great and glorious banquet for all people, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. In the 23rd Psalm, David says that God spreads a table for us under the very noses of our enemies. And it's no accident that when Jesus wanted to give us a sign to remember him, to remind us that he loves us and that he will always be with us, he commanded us to gather around a table where he feeds us with himself. The act of gathering around a table and sharing food is both the sign and the occasion of our fellowship with one another and also with God. And so we should expect that this parable that Jesus tells about a wedding feast would have something to say about fellowship. For the people who were standing around in the temple on that day, the chief priests and the elders and any others who had gathered around Jesus to hear what he had to say, this was a parable about God's invitation to the people of Israel. Jesus was speaking to devout Jews, men who had been steeped in the teaching of the law and the prophets from the time they were little children. The people of Israel were the chosen guests in the story. Beginning with Abraham, God had invited them into fellowship with him. But the parable brings a charge against God's people. They had treated God's invitation lightly. They had gone their own ways. They had rejected his servants, the prophets who were sent to them, mistreating them, killing them. And when his feast was ready, when in the fullness of time he sent his son into the world, they didn't show up. And in the parable, when the chosen guests had gone their way like willful sheep, the king in the story sends the servants out to pull people in off the streets, good and bad alike. The servants of the king invite every one of them to sit in this glorious banquet tables, gleaming with silver and crystal, piled high with food. The lame and the blind, the beggar and the pickpocket, the prostitute and the tax collector and the leper, the servants brought them all in, everyone to fill every seat in the banquet hall. And it wasn't hard for Jesus' audience that day to read the meaning of that. Jesus was forever offending their sensibilities by reaching out in fellowship to the misfits and the ne'er-do-wells, the unclean and the unwanted. Jesus already had quite a reputation for sitting around tables with tax collectors and sinners, for enjoying fellowship with the very last and the very least. Just as all that rabble in the parable filled the seats at the king's wedding feast. And that was the meaning of the parable for those of the chief priests and elders who could hear it, who were there to hear Jesus' words on that day. We, on the other hand, we hear this parable from a very different place. You and I and every Christian, past, present, or future, we hear the parable as members of the lucky rabble who have found ourselves pulled off the streets and dragged out of the gutter and invited to a feast of fellowship that we neither desired or deserved, as the collect says. We find ourselves blinking in the light of the great banquet hall at the invitation of the king's servants. And so, first of all, I think the parable gives us a pretty good picture of who we are, what the church is. Here we are, a mixed bag of bad and good and everything in between, each and every one of us. I've heard the saying many times, but it always bears repeating, I think, that the Church of Jesus Christ is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, and that is certainly the truth. We've been invited to sit at the king's table not because we're particularly deserving of recognition, not because we're of any special race or class, not because we have deep understanding or perfect morals, not because we know some secret password or follow all the rules, but purely and simply because we have been invited by the king himself. Paul makes it very clear in chapter 11 of his letter to the Romans, that our acceptance does not mean that the people of Israel have been excluded once and for all. Paul asks rhetorically, has God rejected his people? And he answers himself, by no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles. But if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Because, Paul goes on to say, the gifts and the invitation of God are irrevocable. So that's something important to remember. Our acceptance doesn't mean that God's chosen nation has been rejected forever. In the mystery of his grace, the invitation still stands open for them, just as it does for us. Because this is a parable about invitations. And along with the Jewish people, we face that same challenge to respond to God's invitation, to sit at his table, to enjoy fellowship with him in his kingdom today and every day. But for us, the stakes are infinitely higher. We live on the other side of that watershed moment in the world's history when the King's Son has come to dwell among his people and won the victory over death, just as Isaiah promised, to destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. From where we stand now, we know that that mountain was Calvary, when our Lord gave his life for us and the world was changed forever. It is a fearful thing. It is an awesome thing in the real sense of the word, as well as a joyful one, to be invited to the King's table. And that is why we do what we do on Sunday mornings. We come not by tradition or compulsion, but because we have been invited by the King to come to his table and to have fellowship with him. We don't come because we are worthy. We are made worthy by his invitation. We don't gather around the table because we've chosen each other, like some kind of select society, the people we want to hang out with. We gather here because he chose us. He brought us in from the highways and byways of this world. And now he is feeding us right under the very nose of the enemy, leading us in love, to green pastures, always and forever, being both our gracious host and the holy food that sustains us. As we pray in the service of morning prayer, oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Amen.
Amen.